Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I do apologize for the poor camera quality. We seem to be having some technical difficulties, but I think we should start in any case, inshallah ta'ala, because we're running into time. So bismillahir rahmanir rahim, welcome back. I hope you all had a wonderful break during the blessed month of Ramadan. And we will continue with our lessons on Imam Tahawi's Aqidah Tahawiyyah. So I hope you can all hear me and you can at least see my shadow, if not see me. But the most important thing is that you're able to see the text, which is in front of you. So we reached point number 12, and I think we finished that one. So let's move on to point number 13 here. مَا زَالَ بِصِفَاتِهِ قَدِيمًا قبل خلقه. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we're talking about Allah, Allah possesses or possessed his attributes prior to his creation. And so he always had his sifat, his attributes. And لم يزدد بكونهم شيئا لم يكن قبلهم من صفاته. And he remains with the same attributes without increasing them as a result of his creation coming to being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take a very simple example, was always the creator even before he created me and you, before he even created anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always the creator. So now we've moved in to what's called these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described as having attributes, we obviously, in the most common terms, we refer to his attributes that often come in the Quran or the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these can be his essence. So you have these attributes of his essence, what's in Arabic called sifatu dhat. Sifatu dhat are things that are part of Allah's essence, like life, like power, like knowledge, will. Allah has will. Allah has volition. He can hear. He can see. Or it can also mean another category of his attributes, which are called sifatul af'al. And these are his actions, his attributes of his actions, like, for example, producing, creating what we call takween, also giving life. And all of these attributes are part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these are his attributes by how his essence is characterized. Yeah, let me put a light on. Let me try that, inshallah.
Maybe that will help. The camera's struggling to pick me up.
Maybe this will help. Allah knows best. Oh, there you go. Oh, wonderful. Jazakallah for that. You learn something new every day. Subhanallah. Okay. So let's get this adjusted. Okay. So these are, perfect. Thank you so much. Something so obvious, but doesn't apparently come to me always. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, he had his attributes of khalq. Khalq, what does khalq mean? He's the creator. And even before he created something, so even before, you know, we usually in our daily discourse, we usually call someone a carpenter after they've become a carpenter, after they've built a structure or they've carved a piece of wood. But for Allah, he was always the creator, even before he created anything. Okay, so in other words, he didn't get this attribute later on. He was always the creator, Jalla wa Ala, as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, in the Quran, this is the khalq of Allah in chapter 31, verse number 11. So Allah was always the khaliq. Allah was always the creator. And so his makhluq, which is referring to us, was something that Allah ta'ala created. But Allah himself was always the creator. So this is very, very important to bear in mind. This is what he's trying to say. This is what Imam Tahawi is trying to say in point number 13 here, that he had these sifat, he had these attributes even before he did anything, right? It wasn't like he had these attributes after they came into existence. And when you think about these attributes by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's essence is characterized, we have textual proof for this in the Quran, and you can also reason through it as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, for example, in chapter 2, verse 255, they do not encompass any of his knowledge, right? So nothing encompasses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. Allah knows everything. And he revealed everything with his knowledge. This is in chapter 4, verse 166 in the Quran. Allah also says in the Quran, chapter 51, verse 58, indeed, Allah is the provider, the Lord of omnipotence. Okay, so Allah describes himself in the Quran with complete knowledge. Allah knows everything, and he has complete power over everything. Okay, and all his other attributes, Allah mentions them in the Quran in chapter 2, verse 255, that he is ever living, he's self-subsisting, and everything exists by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the hearer and he's the seer, as mentioned in chapter 17, verse number 1 of the Quran as well. And this is to refute a sect that we won't go into, but he's by mentioning this passage here in number 13, he's obviously referring to a sect called the Mu'tazilites, because they have a slightly different nuance, which I won't go into for now. Now, Allah brought forth the universe, and you see the universe in all its multiplicity. You see its existence. You see its precision, its perfection. I tweeted a few days ago about how the cosmos works in a very perfect fashion, the movement, the alignment of the stars. And so there's perfection. You can see that this is a unique handiwork. You see design. You see order in the cosmos. You see the formation of the orbits and the planets that run their course, right? You see this independent of revelation. You see this with your own eyes. You can see this happening every night for millions of years. We've been observing the cosmos for millions of years. So you can see all of this very, very clearly. And so you can see all of this, that in this proof, there is someone, in our case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's subjugating the sun, the moon, to be constant on their courses. They are racing, if you like, but they don't overtake one another. There's no chaos in the cosmos. It might look chaotic, but it's not. It's very stable when we look up there. And we can predict things. We can see things happening when we observe all of this as well. For example, they don't overtake one another. They don't collide with one another. Allah Ta'ala made it such that the night and the day, they repeatedly occur, right? You have night, day, night, day. And one of them, the night, veils the surface of the earth. And another time, we see everything is manifest like daylight right now. Just like when I switch this light on, you could see everything. It became manifest for you. So this is how Allah Ta'ala created the world. And you see this even in animals. So if you just look around you in the makhluk of Allah, you see that they have life. You see that they are distinct. They have instinct. They are guided by their instinct. And instinctively, animals try and find benefit. Instinctively, animals try and avoid harm. So Allah's created animals or creatures in this particular way. This is the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even inanimate objects, so things that aren't animals, that aren't like humans, you see that everything has a particular order to it. Allah has created everything in a particular way. So when you reflect upon this, you see that there's wisdom, there's planning, there's subtleties in all of things. Nothing is out of place. It's only us that move it out of place in our own sins and our own digressions. Okay, so we see when we look at the cosmos that there is a maker of these things who must be perfect, because what he has created is perfection. He's put everything into order. And so for the creator, he must be knowledgeable. He must have power. He must have volition. He must have will. He must have wisdom, and he must be free of any of these defects. This is very, very important to bear in mind. Then we move on to number 14. وَكَمَا كَانَ بِصِفَاتِ أَزَلِيًّا كَذَلِكَ لَا يَزَالُ عَلَيْهَا abdiyan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was before, as he was before creation, qualified with specific attributes, so he remains forever described by them. Azali means eternal. Allah had these attributes in eternity, and he will have them perpetually, in other words, abadiyan. Okay, so the point here is that we are affirming the beginningless eternality, if you like. We're affirming the beginningless eternality of Allah and everlastingness of Allah's attributes. Okay, they don't have a beginning, nor do they have, they came without a beginning, and they are eternal. Okay, so this is something to bear in mind. And then he says, Laysa, some places they say Mundu, in other places they say Ba'da. Laysa Mundu khalaqa al-khalqa istifada ism al-khaliq wala bi-ihdath al-bariyya istifada ism al-bari. It's not a case that he brought creation into existence, or rather, if you want to put it a different way, it is not that after he brought creation into existence that he acquired the name of Khaliq. Right, so it's not like after he created Umar, that he became the creator Umar. He was always the creator. Okay? And neither when he originated creation did he come with his name of Bari. Bari means the one who originates. Remember, one is to create and one is to originate. Allah is unique because we do have a share in creation, in the sense that we use materials to bring things into existence. We can't bring things into existence from non-existence. But Allah is Bari because He can bring things into existence from non-existence, which is something that we cannot do in any way, shape, or form. Okay? And this is again Imam Tahawi emphasizing the point that Allah in pre-eternity was characterized by attributes of perfection, and not void of any praiseworthy quality. Allah was always worthy of praise. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah is always worthy of praise as well. And of course, Allah is not in need of anything. He can create something without anything. Right? We can't do that. We need materials. We need things to come together. We need to fashion things. We need to plan things. Allah is free from all of those things. Number 16, لَهُ مَعْنَ الرُّبُوبِيَّ وَلَا مَرْبُوبُ وَمَعْنَ الْخَالِقِيَّ وَلَا مَخْلُوقُ. He has the quality of رُبُوبِيَّ. رُبُوبِيَّ means Godhood. Okay? And when there was nothing to be God over. So even, you know, if you can conceptualize it for a second, there must have been a time when there was nothing but God. He was still Allah then, whether we were there or not, whether there was anyone to worship him, whether there was anyone there to praise him, Allah was there, right? He was still God then. It's not like he became God when he created us and we recognize him, because that's kind of like implying that God has a need. Allah was always Allah. He was always the Lord. وَمَعْنَ الْخَالِقِ وَلَا مَخْلُوقِ. And he has a quality of creator with a capital C when there was nothing created. Okay? And this is again a sort of confirmation and an emphasis of what was mentioned before. Okay, because essentially Allah's attributes are eternal, right? And they subsist in His essence. Okay, and then ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Have we missed one out? Let's have a look. Okay, that's fine. So in the one that I have, they missed this one out, but I will read it for you. وَكَمَا أَنَّهُ مُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بَعْدَ أَحْيَاهِمْ. That he is the resurrector, just like he's the resurrector of the dead after he resurrects them. Okay? And he is the Muhyi al-Mawta even before he brought anyone back to life. So even before he brought people back to life, or he will bring people back to life, he's still the Muhyi al-Mawta. Okay? And this name is appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even before he brought anyone. In other words, Allah had always been with these attributes. Yeah? And in the same way, he had the name of Khaliq even before he created us. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. This is because Allah has power over all things. Now, this is really fundamental. This one here, number 18, the first passage. In fact, the whole thing is really, really powerful here. Very, very important. It's a fundamental of our conceptualization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or our attempt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. This is because Allah has power. They've used the word omnipotent, which basically means Allah has complete power. Omni, complete, utter. Everything Allah has power over, and nothing escapes the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Even before we came into existence, Allah was powerful. From pre-eternity, Allah has power over things. Even before those things came into existence, even before He created anything, Allah had power over everything, because He had this power, this qudra, before creation. Okay? Unlike His other attributes of takhliq, producing, creating, taqween, okay? Even though nothing was there before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, He still had the power over all these things as well. It's not like His power came into being. It's not like His power was created, because of course you can see the obvious problem with this, that if you're saying God's attributes are created, then it's not far from saying God is created Himself. But God always had this power, which is His qudra. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْهِ فَقِيرٍ. Number 18, the second sentence, or the first, second sentence. Everything is faqir. Everything is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ عَلَيْهِ يَسِيرٍ. And every affair is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى شَيْءٍ. Allah does not need anything. Allah is ghani, and we are fuqara. We are the impoverished people. We are the ones who need Allah for our entire existence. This is what he's saying. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He brings in a verse from the Quran, very, very important verse in the Quran. And that's, there is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while He is all-hearing and all-seeing, Jalla wa ala. So this is very, very important to bear in mind. Okay, so this is that one. And then this is the final one before we move on to the next section. خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ بِعِلْمِهِ. He created everything with His knowledge. Now we're moving into what's called, you can see the small circle on the right-hand side, what's called preordination or divine predetermination, al-qadr. A very short section. بَخَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ بِعِلْمِهِ وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقَدَارًا. 19 and 20. He originated everything, creation, with His ilm, with His omniscient knowledge. He has knowledge over everything. وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقَدَارًا. And He also measured everything that He created. So everything has its own measure. So whatever happens in the world is of course by Allah's taqdeer, Allah's qudr, qadar and qudr, qadar. That Allah has decreed and everything happens. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And of course Allah is outside of time. So there's no past, present or future for Allah. So when someone says, you know, how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what's going to happen in the future? Or how is it fair that Allah knows what's going to happen to me? Well, we don't know what's going to happen to us, but Allah knows. Because if Allah did not know what's going to happen to you, then that would create a huge problem, a huge void, which means that God does not have knowledge of the future. But when we say God does not have knowledge of the future, we are mixing up conflating two different conceptualizations. God does not have past, present, and future. God is Allah. Allah is Allah. He is a creator of time. He is outside of time. A simple way to think of this is that I have an iPad in my left hand. Hope you can see it. The man or the person who made this phone is not controlled or is not under some sort of restrictions of the iPad. He doesn't have to be a rectangular shape or have a flat screen. The creator of the iPad is completely free, independent of his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. He's free from any of the impoverishments, any of the restrictions, whether it's time or space. So God is not like us. Remember what we said? Nothing is like God. Number 18, just before, nothing is like God. And past, present, and future, time, because it's a created thing, it's something that we exist within. God is outside of time. He exists outside of time. He created space, right? So therefore, God is outside of space. So to ask where Allah is a stupid question, because Allah exists outside of space. He does not exist within space. Otherwise, you're saying He's bound by His own creation, which is ludicrous. Okay? خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ بِعِلْمِهِ So He created makhluk with His knowledge, and this is His knowledge which is pre-eternal. So He was alim, He was all-knowing, He knew everything before it even came into existence. He knew you, He knows you before you came into existence, right? Before you, there is a past, present, and future, because you live as a prisoner of time. Okay? وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقْدَارًا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed for them portions of their life. In other words, Allah knows how long you're going to live. Allah knows where you're going to die. You cannot escape that. That's knowledge that's not been given to you or anyone, but it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So Allah has told us about this. Allah says in the Quran in chapter 54, verse 49, indeed, everything we have created in proportion and measure. So Allah has created everything exactly the way He wants it. Okay. So this is very, very important. وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا Allah has appointed for you for your ajal, number 21, which is your lifespans. Okay. Each one of us has a final and definite lifespan, and it will not be delayed. It will not be advanced. Whenever you have to leave this world, you will leave this world. Not a second before, not a second later. This is from the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just going to turn the camera off because we don't need it. And it's annoying. I don't know why. We'll have to get this resolved. I do apologize for this. I don't know why this has happened. So this is important in the Quran. And everything has a term predetermined, as Allah says in chapter 3, verse 145 in the Quran. Okay, the next one, number 22. لَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ أَفْعَالِهِمْ قَبْلَ أَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ وَعَلِمَ مَا هُمْ عَامِلُونَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ So, nothing from our actions, if you like, are concealed from Him before He created them. And He knew what you were going to do before He created them. Okay? So Allah knows nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a single action of His makhluk, His slaves, is hidden from Him. Even before He created you, He knew exactly what you were going to do. Okay? This is complete knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is complete knowledge. Complete knowledge is difficult for us to appreciate because we're always learning. And we're always adding to our reservoir of knowledge. But remember, Allah knows everything. So there's no adding to His knowledge. Because if you assume that, then the moment before He learned that particular thing, He didn't know about it. And you cannot attribute that to Allah. Right? That removes His godlessness, if you like. Allah knows everything. Jalla wa ala. Very difficult for us to understand because we always learn things as we move on. Even things that we do know get challenged or change over time, but Allah's knowledge is of all things. Allah knows everything. Okay. He is the creator of all. He is the creator of everything. He is all knowing. Chapter 36, verse 81. And He is a knower of every creation. Chapter 36, verse 79. Allah knows everything. Okay. So Allah has linked His creation or His creating with knowledge. Okay. Now, after He created you, what happens? Number 23, وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ Because Allah can do whatever He wishes because He's Allah, right? And no one can ask Him what He does. He can only ask us. He commanded us or He commanded them to obey Him and forbade us from disobeying Him. Okay? We are all in reality meant to be enslaved to Allah, nothing else. Okay, we are slaves to Allah and we should not be slaves to anything else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says this in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created jinn and mankind except that they worship me. Okay, next one. And now we're talking about Allah's volition. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَجْرِي بِقُدْرَتِهِ وَمَشِيَّتِهِ وَمَشِيَّتُهُ تَنْفُذُ. So everything happens with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, قُدْرَه, قَدْر. قُدْرَه here means Allah's power, وَمَشِيَّتِهِ, and Allah's volition. Okay? Anything that's originated, whether it's good or bad, is by Allah's volition, will and power. Okay, Allah says in the Quran chapter 37 verse 96, when Allah created you and your handwork, i.e. your works, everything, Allah is the creator of everything. In an advanced lesson, because some of you will be thinking about this, we can get into the question of free will. Right, so where is free will in all of this? And this is what you get into an interesting conversation of kasb, acquisition, and other concepts in theology, advanced theology called occasionalism, which I do not want to go into right now because it's a longer conversation and it goes beyond the remit of this text. But you should know that the ulama have dealt with these questions. So, you know, if Allah has power over everything, where's my free will and where's your free will, and how does that interplay come about? So maybe in a future advanced lesson, we can talk about this. Okay, but you should know that Allah's power over everything. We believe Allah's complete power over everything. Okay, and we can talk about this question in a future lesson. Okay, so this is that. And wa mashi'atuhu tanfudu, whatever Allah wants to happen, it happens. Right, it's not like we want something to happen, it might not happen, it may happen. For Allah, it's tanfuz, it happens. Okay, and la mashiyat lil ibadi illa ma sha'a lahum. Allah says, number 25, that is, we don't really possess volition except what Allah wills for us. Fa ma sha'a lahum kan, whatever Allah wills for us happens. Wa ma lam yasha' lam yakun. Whatever Allah does not will, does not happen. This is maintaining Allah's complete, utter omnipotence, utter power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla wa ala. Okay. Now we talk about hidayah. Yahdi man yasha wa ya'simu wa yu'afi fadlan. Now this is really important. Allah guides whoever He wishes out of His grace. He protects and preserves whoever He wills. By His justice, He leads astray. And what He also does is He abandons and afflicts whomsoever He wants. But all of this is under Allah's volition, alternating between His grace and His justice. Okay? So, يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَعْسِمُ وَيُعَافِي فَضْلًا وَيُذِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَحْذُلُ وَيَبْتَلِ عَدْلًا وَكُلُّهُمْ. So, we'll move to that in a moment. وَكُلُّهُمْ. Number 27. They all vacillate in His providence between His grace and His justice. Okay? So no one can claim a right over Allah. You can't go to Allah and say, Allah, I want you to do this for me. Oh Allah, I worshipped you, and therefore you must do this for me. I prayed salah, you must do something. You cannot impose your will upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Or you can't say, Allah, you have to do what's best for me. Okay? Allah deals with you how He wishes. He owns the entire universe. And only an owner who owns something in a complete sense has the utter right to deal with what is in his possession however he wishes. Allah says in chapter 14, 27 of the Quran, chapter 14, verse number 27, and Allah does whatever He wills. In chapter 5, verse 1, Allah says, Allah decrees whatever He wills. Okay? Because there's some people some sects, who consider that it's incumbent, Allah has to do what's in the best interest of His slaves, aslah. Okay? But Allah is, because once you say that Allah has to do what's in the best interest of Allah, you're kind of like making demands upon Allah. But you're saying that Allah can do whatever He wishes. Right, because if this sect was saying, well, Allah has to do what's best for people, then you would have no disbelievers. Everyone would become a believer. There would be no sin in this world. But empirically, we can see that there are disbelievers. We can see that there is sin taking place as well. Okay? Okay. And if he wants you to become a believer, that's the fadl of Allah. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's the divine grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He guided you to Islam. Okay? And if he wants someone to be a disbeliever, that's out of his justice. That's out of Allah's justice. And Allah is in no way unjust. Okay? Because unjust, or injustice rather, is to do something in an inappropriate manner, or without consent, or without permission. But for Allah, He owns everything. So how can He be unjust? How can He exercise injustice? Na'udhu billahi min zalik. Okay. In fact, Allah is merely exercising His right, because He owns. Remember what I said? Allah owns everything. You, me, everything. Right. And so if you own something completely, you can do whatever you want with it. Okay. Allah is not going to be asked on the day of judgment on what He did. We're going to be asked what we did, what He gave to us. Okay. Okay. لا راد لقضاء. So number 29. No one can repel His qada, His decree. ولا معقب الحكم. And no one can delay or postpone His judgment. ولا غالب لأمره. And no one can overcome His command. Nobody can go to Allah and say, no, you can't do this. نعوذ بالله من ذلك. Okay. So Allah, by His decree of creating, what's called qada takwin, we can't change that. Right? Because if you could change Allah's qada, if you or me could do it, that would imply that Allah has weakness. نعوذ بالله من ذلك. And that's impossible for Allah. Okay? That's very, very important. وَلَا غَالِبَ لِأَمْرِ. And no one can prevail over His command. Okay? When Allah wants to do something, it's happening. This is your relationship with your Creator. We forget that our relationship with Allah is one of need. Unfortunately, the modern man, the modern subject, he demands of Allah. But actually, our relationship with Allah is one of utter need. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he makes it very, very clear. آمَنَّا بِذَٰلِكُ كُلِّهِ. So this is number 30. آمَنَّا بِذَٰلِكُ كُلِّهِ وَإِقَنَّا أَنَّ كُلَّمْ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ. We believe in all of this, and we are certain that everything is from Allah. This is very, very soothing. We believe in all of this, what we've just said, and we believe that, and we are certain, أَيْقَنَّا يَقِينَ, that everything is from Allah. Okay? So it's not just like mere blind following, but through knowledge, through reflection, through reading the Quran, reasoning, you come from a situation of doubt to yaqeen. Okay, this is why it's important for you, after you've learned this lesson or this module with me, that you try, inshallah, learn Arabic and try, or at least learn your religion better, so you have yaqeen. Okay? And this is what yaqeen is. Ayqanna. Yaqeen means that you have through knowledge, like you know how to reason, you know how to show what you believe in, rather than being a blind follower. Okay? This is very, very important. If you think about the Quran, in the story of Abraham, chapter 6 in particular, verse number 75, Allah showed him the heavens and the earth, and he had what's called muqineen. Allah describes from him as the one who possesses certainty. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because what did he do? He used the power of deduction. He reasoned. And he came to know the maker from the makhluk. He came to know that there is a creator, everything. The moon, the sun, the stars cannot just simply appear out of thin air, if you like, but they appeared with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Right? Allah created those things. Alright, so next one is around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the messenger. So after we finish talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we begin talking about the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's see how much time we have. Okay. If you're okay, should we continue or should we just stop here? I don't mind. I'm flexible either way. Once again, I do apologize for the camera quality. There's nothing I can do about it. Hopefully, Muhammad can help me out later and solve it. We're on to the next section. Entirely up to you. Or should we pause here and then continue next week? You can post your message, Umar, inshallah. Okay, so let's just do a little bit. Yeah, let's continue a little bit, Aziz. Good idea. Okay, so Bismillah ar-Rahim. So we're moving on to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Now, in the edition that you have from Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, you have Wa'anna. But in other books, it's also Wa'inna. But anyway, we'll go. Wa'inna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abduhu al-Mustafa. Yeah. And then Wa Nabiyuhu al-Mujtaba. In other places, it's called, it's written Wa Aminuhu al-Mujtaba Wa Rasuluhu al-Murtada. So we believe this is the part of our Shahada, the second part. So all of this we've covered so far is the first part of the Shahada. We believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his slave or his chosen one, and his Nabiyuhu al-Mujtaba, chosen one, or the great one, from all the ones that Allah sent to us. Wa Rasuluhu al-Murtada, to be happy. So his prophet with whom Allah is pleased. This is very, very important, right? So three things: chosen, preeminent, and with whom Allah is pleased, and whom Allah is most pleased with. Okay. Okay. So the next one, we continue with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Let me just get rid of all of this. You can tell there's been some issues here. Okay, so let's just stop that. Okay, so this is important, 32. That he is Khatamul Anbiya, he is the seal of the prophets, wa Imamul Atqiya, he is the Imam of the pious, wa Sayyidul Mursaleen, he is a Sayyid, i.e. he is the master, leader of all the prophets, and of course, wa Habibu Rabbil Alameen, and the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam Tahawi says, wa kullu da'watin nubuwa ba'dahu. Anyone who claims to be a prophet after him is a deviant and is engaging in heresy. Okay, just stop here for a second. Just to go back as to why the Prophet ﷺ comes after talking about Allah. Because faith demands that you know Allah. Faith demands that you know his names, his attributes, and you affirm after that. So once you know Allah, then the second part is to affirm the Sharia as conveyed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah in the Quran, he couples belief in him with belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says in chapter 7, verse 158, O mankind, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. So believe in Allah and his messenger, the unlettered prophet. Okay. So this is why the Prophet is then mentioned second, if you like, as well. Okay. So, and Allah chose him, and he is a trustworthy one by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And Allah gave him miracles, which proved his prophethood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, he is the seal of the prophets, as mentioned in the Quran, chapter 33, verse number 44. Okay. And in hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one place is mentioned, that he is the Hashi, he is the gatherer at whose heels people will be assembled. Right? So he is the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have groups who believe or are followers of people who claim that their leader was a prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's complete nonsense, complete kufr. Right? Wa khatamul anbiya. We have this time and time again. People come along and claim to be a prophet. False, utterly false. And anyone who claims to do that, he says, is following their desires. He is also the Imam al-Atqiya, just sticking with number 32 at the top of the page there. Because Atqiya comes from the word taqwa. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guarded mankind, or he warns mankind about associating partners with Allah, right? Because that's the highest level of disobedience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And so they are God fearing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of the muttaqun. Okay. And in fact, he also led, he was the imam of all the God fearing people, which were the prophets. The great prophets were the greatest of those who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sayyidul mursaleen, he is the sayyid, the master of all the prophets, of course. From Adam alayhi salam all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is the habib, he is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran chapter 3 verse 31, Allah says, follow me, Allah will love you. Okay? So this is mentioned in the Quran. Of course, you know, if Allah loves someone, you follow that person. Right? So love is, one of the demands of love is that you follow the one that is beloved. Okay? وَهُوَ الْمَبْعُوثِ إِلَىٰ عَامَةِ الْجِنِّ وَكَافَةِ الْوَرَىٰ بِالْحَقِّ وَالْهُدَىٰ وَبِالنُّورِ وَالضِّيَىٰ. And he is sent. He has been sent to the generality of jinn and all humankind. So these are the two groups that are mukallaf, that are morally responsible for their actions. Okay. Allah says in the Quran, for example, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chapter 7, verse 158, O mankind, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. Yeah. Chapter 34, verse 28, Allah says, we have not sent you, but to all of mankind. Okay. And he's not like some people might claim that he's only been sent to the Arabs, for example. Okay. That's not true. And there are verses in the Quran, chapter 72, verse 1 to 2, right? Where in Surah Al-Jinn. So this is important. So it's not like some people might claim today that it's an ethnic sort of religion. Islam is not ethnically tied, right? Unlike some other religions. Okay, he's been sent with truth, he's been sent with guidance, light and radiance. Okay, Islam is all about truth, we are truth seekers. It can also mean the rights that Allah has over his slaves, okay, the commands and the prohibitions. And here, hidayah, guidance, is something that takes you towards your goal, okay. It can also mean clarification. Things are being made clear for you. Okay. And of course, all of this comes from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. And light, of course, is embodies this idea of guidance, to be able to see where you're going. Okay. So this is what he's saying. Wal huda, wal nur, light and diya. Okay. Quran is light. The Quran is guidance. Alhamdulillah, we've moved on quite fast. Alhamdulillah, we made up for lost time. So we'll continue from there, inshallah ta'ala. I think, Omar, I'll respond to your question. So Allah is a Rahman or merciful. In English, we call that an attribute. Yeah, so I'll come to that next week, inshallah, if you don't mind. So a Rahman, Al-Merciful English, we call that an attribute. Can you explain a bit more regarding nuances behind Rahman and Wadud? Oh, you mean like the differences between the names and nuances? Is that what you're asking, Umar? Aziz, Abdul Aziz, I'm going to come to you in a second. So name is a... okay. Name is just a name, right? An attribute is something that describes that. So all of the words you mentioned here, Rahman, Wadud, will be attributes. Name is just the name of something. I don't quite understand anymore, but you can message me if you want later on. We can have a chat about it, inshallah. I'm not quite clear. Forgive me. Abdulaziz, do you have something? You put your hand up, Abdul Aziz.
Assalamu alaikum, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go on. Bismillah.
Yeah, I've sent a question to the chat in the starting of the class, but it didn't go to the general chat. But I asked a question when we were talking about the sifa of Allah, the attributes. So my question was that the everything, the world that we see around us is essentially reflection of attributes of Allah, isn't it?
Yes.
And yes. Can you just elaborate on that one?
A good place. So when you talk about everything, describes the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think about every attribute of Allah and think about everything that's been created. Right? It's clear that it's describing an attribute of Allah, right? Your existence, my existence shows Allah's power. But the fact that at the same time, we are unable to do everything that we want to do shows our weakness, which also at the same time shows Allah's power over us. So even when we have deficiencies, which we all have, that's also reminding us of the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we're supposed to do is look at these positive attributes. And if you look at the Sharia, Abdul Aziz and everyone, you will notice that what the Sharia is trying to do is trying to make you more like what Imam Ghazali says, make you more like God. In the sense that these positive attributes, they are there for you to use as a hook to come close to Allah. Like the more you become merciful, the more you become generous, the more you become this, the positive attributes, the closer you draw to Allah. And even when we do ibadat, when we give charity, right? When we give charity, when we fast, even fasting. Fasting is one of the ideas behind fasting is to show for a moment that we don't eat, drink, and do other things that we normally do, which are part of our desires, because that's a form of weakness. The fact that we abstain from food and drink shows that we are in some ways trying to draw close to Allah, because Allah doesn't eat, Allah doesn't drink, Allah doesn't have all of these things. So all these ibadat, when you really reflect upon them deeply, it shows us how to come close to Allah. When you give charity, zakat, because when you give money, when you hold money, it's a form of desire. It's a form of being enslaved, right? But when you give money away, you're showing that you're not in need. And you're doing it. So it's kind of like showing this ghani of Allah. So that Allah is completely free of any need. So when you give charity, you're kind of like in many ways trying to do what's good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that make sense, Abdul Aziz?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So think about ibadat. Think about all the things that we are told to do in the Sharia and try and link them to Allah's names. And you will see the relationship.
Okay. Jazakallah khair.
Barakallah fik. Umar, let me come back to Umar, please. Is being merciful a name? Yeah, I think it's an attribute of Allah. Rahman or Rahim. It can be both, I guess. Need to think about it more, inshallah. Okay. I do apologize for messing you all about. So hopefully we'll continue. But next Friday I'm traveling. So just keep an eye out for a message where I'll try and stick to 5 o'clock every Friday. But next Friday we're going to a retreat. So we may have to change the lessons a little bit. But I'm sure most of you can access the recordings, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll continue from where we left off. Some of you asked for the email address. You can email if you want to get in touch. I'm more than happy to try and help you where I can, inshallah. Okay, everyone, take care. Have a good weekend. Assalamu alaikum.